In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. Historian and artist Shelley Mooney, who runs the brilliant Instagram page Tales from the Wood, which explores the history and mythology of Ireland, is back on the pod one more time. And in this bite-sized episode, she talks to us about the ancient festival of Samhain and its connection to the Hill of Tara.
So the ancient festival of Samhain is what we call Halloween now. And basically what it is, it's something that's been celebrated here in Ireland in different ways by different types of people since literally prehistoric times. And we have evidence going back 5,000 years ago that we've been marking this day in whatever way that was important to the people at the time for that long. So that's how old we're talking about with Samhain. So if you look outside, I always like to take it back to nature. The leaves are starting to fall off the trees. Summer is well and truly over, and the Kyloch is here and she's all around us. And we can see her and feel her now in the cold air and the haw of our breath and in the smoke of the fires coming out of the chimneys. She's all around us now.
Yeah, and you spoke brilliantly about the Kyloch in the previous conversation. So if you want to check that out, it was the one we recorded about the autumn equinox. And you speak about the Kyloch beautifully in that episode. And it's, as you already explained anyway, it's not about the necessarily, you know, the on the broomstick with the pointy hat stuff. It's far more connected to nature.
Yes, exactly. And these are nature goddesses that, you know, we've chopped and changed over time. And there's been so many iterations of these characters, and different cultures around the world will have their own Kylochs or whatever they're calling it. You know, she appears throughout. And then of course we have the Wizard of Oz. I think that's the point that she got the pointy hat.
Okay.
I think that was when she got that.
Yeah.
But yes, so the Kyloch is all around us, and Halloween is en route. So what Samhain is marking is the beginning of winter and the beginning of the darkest part of the year. And this would have been really important to the people in Ireland in years gone by, because again, you know, we've talked about the agricultural calendar. It falls into that. So Samhain is, it's this liminal or a threshold time, where we've spoken about that on previous shows as well, that veil between the worlds is thinning and the spirits of the dead and the Aeshi are in and they're walking among us. And
it's a point of the year that it's very thinnest, isn't it?
Yes. So this is, exactly. And there's different ways that you can access the other world according to mythology. So people can say you can go through some of the portal dolmens or the passage tombs, I think through water. There's all these different ways. But because the veil is so thin, we're almost, the dimensions are merging, I suppose, at the moment. And that's where the story, the ghost stories and the association with the dead and like the spirits that are among us, that's where that comes from, is this feeling that the veil between the worlds is very thin at the moment.
Yeah.
So like Bealtaine, which we spoke about early in the year, Samhain is a fire festival. And it's, as I was saying, it's part of that agricultural calendar in that it marked the end of the harvest season when all of the really strenuous farm work is done. So that has been, what's just gone by is the busiest, most difficult point of that agricultural calendar. And for our ancestors, it would have been even more so because they didn't have tractors.
Sure,
they didn't
yeah.
have, you know, they had to do it by hand.
Mm.
And almost everybody was involved in agricultural work back then.
Because if they didn't survive.
Well, we were an agricultural culture, you know,
and
that's what everybody was doing. So at that time of year when the harvest is coming in, and we've seen it in movies and, you know, you'll know the scenes well that I'm talking about, but like everybody was out in the fields, you know, they were all taking it in and bringing it home and processing it and, you know, just huge amount of work and stress. And I'm sure half the time they didn't feel like getting out of bed to do it, but they literally had to because otherwise it would be a grim winter.
Yeah.
You know, so what Samhain allowed them was a big rest and a big celebration and a time to gather around and really just have a big feast and have a big party that finally the hard stuff is over. Winter's here. We're going to have a lovely, quiet few weeks now to kind of take it all in and have a big fire, a big bonfire. And much like Bealtaine, they would celebrate it in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so as I said back in the Bealtaine episode earlier in the year, so Bealtaine is kind of associated with the Hill of Uisneach, which I was explaining is like that spiritual center for our ancient ancestors. But Samhain, the other fire festival, is associated with the Hill of Tara.
Mm.
So I'm sure you know about the Hill of Tara, but it's covered in these beautiful monuments, the oldest of which is called the Mound of the Hostages.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably seen it. And I think some people get a bit confused when they go up there because there's a gate on the front of the mound, which kind of looks like a prison gate. And I think people think they stored hostages in there or something like that. But actually, no. It's a 5,000-year-old passage tomb from our Neolithic ancestors. And it got the name from something else in mythology to do with Cormac MacArt. It has nothing to do
with hostages, hostages.
No, yeah. No, but on Samhain, as we have spoken about previously, in other places like up at Loch Crew is aligned with the autumn equinox, and Newgrange is aligned with the winter solstice. And basically what that alignment means is that the sun will shine down the passage and it's aligned with an actual celestial calendar event that the sun, if its skies are clear, will flood into the passageway and, you know, it will light up the whole thing and mark the day that way. So the Mound of the Hostages is a passage tomb up at Tara that is aligned with Samhain. And we know that in mythology, it says that every 7 years they had this huge big feast and a big party and a fire up at Tara. Whereas they had it for Bealtaine every 7 years at Uisneach. The mythology that we have, so what's written down that we have today, was not written by the people who developed these stories. It was written centuries later by our little monks. They had in their monasteries, they would write, you know, like the Book of Kelsey's gorgeous illuminated manuscripts. They would put them together and they wrote it down because unfortunately our pre-Christian ancestors believed that passing things by word of mouth was the done thing, you know, that they would pass things down. And we've continued that tradition in Ireland really today. We love telling stories. Mm. We have an oral tradition here in Ireland of passing on stories.
Béal leidis.
Exactly, yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't lend itself to study.
No. Because as we all know, the telling of a story can change from person to person.
And region to region, it changes as well.
But you do have a brilliant story, actually, that I'd love to hear. It's about Fionn Mac Cool.
Yeah.
And we know a lot about Fionn Mac Cool.
We do.
You know, he's one of the big hitters in terms of the stories. But I don't think I know this one about Samhain.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a story that takes place up at Tara as well. So this is, you know, it's all these little bits of evidence are why we can make assumptions that places like Tara really, you know, Samhain was very important there. But this particular story is about Fionn Mac Cool.
Actually, and for those listening who, you know, don't, I mean, look, when I think about it myself, I know a bit about him, but I don't know that much.
Mm.
Who was Fionn Mac Cool again?
Well, he's the leader of the Fianna.
Yeah.
He's the guy that in the story about the Salmon of Knowledge, he stuck his finger in the salmon. He's that guy.
Yeah. So he was told not to.
He was told not to. And he did. He put his finger in the Salmon of Knowledge. So if he sucked his finger, he would know everything.
Yeah.
You know, this the whole story about Fionn MacCool. But this takes place when he was young, this story. And he was young and he was up at Tara around Samhain. But he heard a story. He was up visiting at Tara and he heard the men talking about something that was starting to happen every day and had been for years up at Samhain, where they were visited by this big, monstrous, fire-breathing creature who was coming from the other world, whose name was Alion. And what was happening was Alion would arrive at the Hill of Tara, where they were preparing for their great big Samhain feast. And he would use his magical music to lull all of the people in the court to sleep. And when they were sleeping, he would then burn the whole place down to the ground. And when they finally woke up, they would be met with the destruction and the chaos and just the absolute disaster up at Tara on the very day that they needed it, you know. So this was happening and it had been happening for years and they were all just, you know, expecting this to happen again. So Fionn heard the tale and he kind of said to himself, I have to do something about this. So he had a little think and he came up with a plan. And what he did was he inhaled some of the poison that he had on his spear. And what he thought that would do is it would keep him awake so that when Alion eventually came and he played his music, it wouldn't affect Fionn.
Because so he was already pumped with stuff.
Because he was pumped up on whatever poison or whatever.
Yeah. He can't get me.
Right. Whatever it was on his spear, okay. He knew this would keep him awake.
So I'm visualizing Phil now absolutely off his bin.
Yes.
Up at the Hill of Tara.
Mad. I'm sure the other people were looking at him thinking, what the hell? You know, we've heard stories about this.
Okay.
Fella.
So does Aliel come in?
Yes. So he came and of course, the same thing started to repeat again. He was playing this magical music and all the people were falling asleep again. And Fionn, anyway, whatever he took, he stayed awake.
Okay.
So what he
Raven
did,
in the corner.
He was having a right night himself up at Samhain.
Love it.
So sure enough, Alion came and Fionn was awake. So he took Alion by surprise and he killed him with the spear that he was after using to keep himself awake. And when everybody woke up, they were absolutely overjoyed and delighted to find that everything was still standing.
Yeah.
It was still there and Alion was dead and they could have their party. And they were so delighted with Fionn MacCool that they made him the head of the Fianna.
That's how he became the head of the Fianna.
That's
class. Part of me was thinking, why didn't they just move? But I suppose they couldn't.
Well, they couldn't because, again,
Tara, the significance.
Tara, the significance and the spiritual, you know, connection.
But they didn't have to worry about it anymore.
He was gone. What I would say about stories like that is that's the kind of thing that I absolutely love, right? And it's so special about Ireland because we have stories like this and Tara is abound with stories like that that tie in that mythological, legendary, you know, side of our country with the archaeological reality of what we can actually go and see. And I would recommend to anyone, go up to Tara and stand in these places, like, you know, in the Ringforce, where you can imagine that, you know, other characters like Lu arrived at Tara and into King Nuada's court there. And these all these stories. But it's amazing and it's so unique about Ireland that we have, like, they're tied together. And it's just incredible. Like, you know, you can't have one without the other. And we use one to learn about the other. And it's just amazing. And there's so many sites around the country that are the same thing. You know, we've Emin Rocca up in County Armagh and just all these places that the myths and reality are so blended. And it's just so, it's so Irish. Like,
and we're very lucky because, I mean, you know, people travel in from far and wide to experience these places.
Yeah.
And often they're on our doorstep.
Yeah.
So you're dead right. We should really get out and explore what we have here and how special it is. And even just if you're just to go there and let go of your idea of it and just experience it, it sounds like a lot of these places have an energy and have a power about
them. Yes. And like my husband laughs at me because if you go through the camera roll on my phone, it's literally just fields and lumps and rocks and all these random things. And I'm there going, no, this is, you know, blah,
this
blah,
one,
blah.
This one's really special.
Yeah, this one's so cool. And he's like, Shelley, it's a lump in a field. I'm like, no. But that's Ireland, you know. And once you get into it, it's addictive. Like, you know, you'll absolutely get stuck into it. It's amazing.
Well, your passion is addictive. And that's what's really come through in all of these conversations is your absolute love for what you're talking about and you live and breathe it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that came from childhood, I think. I don't know. It's just, it feels very mystical. And once I kind of realized how intertwined Ireland's mythology is with our own archaeology and everything, how the stories are just, and kind of had been left to the side. And we tend to think about Greek mythology or Roman mythology, but our own is just so yes. colourful. And the characters are just incredible. And there's so many lessons that are just so specific to here in Ireland, you know, and that's so special as well. It's yeah. just incredible. Like,
it yeah. is, yeah. Okay, so this time of year, you know, I mean, I suppose nowadays we have, you know, the classic trick or treating.
Yes.
And I recorded a previous episode all about kind of traditions and the games that were played and the things that were done and all of that, and how the lanterns were not necessarily pumpkins, but turnips back in the day
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. But celebrating today, it's nice. I do feel like there's a bit of a resurgence in the old games, the
yes.
stuff that we probably played when we were kids,
yeah.
you know, and it's nice to see the simple stuff making a
yeah.
comeback as well.
And it's cool to know the reasons why those all came about as well. You know, so I was kind of mentioning to you before the show started, the Hill of Ward in County Meath is where they say that Halloween may have originated. And basically what that is, it's an Iron Age fort that's actually visible from the Hill of Tara.
Okay.
But they'd light a great big fire up there at Halloween and or at Samhain, they would have called it, and people would gather and they would actually take a flame home from the fire.
Yes.
And
I have heard that story.
Yes,
that's
yes,
that one.
That's the Hill of Ward. But
fabulous.
Yeah, but it's traditions like that, and that the liminality and the veil being very thin is where we get all our little modern games today. So all of those games, you know, I'm sure, like the Bobbing for Apples or the Barn Brack, they're all based around divination and particularly in relation to your love life, you know.
Yeah.
So they were mad into finding out, you know, when would they be getting married? Who'd be the first one? But all of those games, the divination, it's kind of because Samhain was seen as this this mystical time when the veil was very thin, and that because our ancestors are so near to us in that time, that it was a great time for divination,
yeah.
you know, and of trying to read the future. And that's where that those little harmless games that we play now, that's where they all would have come from. And I just think that's incredible, like, you know, that we still have that connection today, and the kids are still doing it. You know,
yes.
it's nice.
So in the Celtic calendar, where do you begin, or is there a beginning and end? Is it circular? I mean, we have in bulk,
yes.
we have Beltane and Lunasa and Samhain, but is in bulk the first one or is Samhain?
So there's actually a little bit of debate over
okay.
that. Yeah. So a lot of people will say that the Celtic New Year begins on Samhain or the
yeah.
1st of November. It's debatable. I don't
okay.
know. I can't tell you for 100%. But I kind of, I feel like that's a nice idea, you know,
yeah.
that we're starting in the dark as opposed to, you know, the kind of the festivities of New Year's Day that we celebrate today, you know, that it, instead it's when this veil is very thin and, you know, we're coming up to the coldest months, that maybe that's the beginning as opposed to heading into spring. I
yes,
don't know. It,
I know.
It's
up to interpretation, whatever anyone
yeah,
feels connected
exactly.
to. I've loved these episodes. I've learned so much from you, and I know there's so much more that we could talk about, but your work is stunning. Tales from the Wood. If you don't follow Shelley already, you should. Her page is fabulous. Thank you so much for your time. It's been brilliant.
Oh, thanks so much to you. Thanks for having me on. It was great coming on to have a chat with you.
If you enjoyed this mini episode, I released a conversation all about Halloween traditions on the 23rd of October 2020, if you want to check that one out. Thank you so much for listening to Ready to Be Real.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.